Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Are you still doing that?
We're with your hosts, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And with very special guests.
Tim.
Yeah.
Is it my turn to talk?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to introduce me. Oh, God, no. We don't do that.
Oh,
yeah.
No. None of that would be stuff.
You're thinking of somewhere classy.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. I forgot.
I'm sorry, pause. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome a very special guest to the Apropos of Nothing podcast. Please give a round of applause in your homes, because we can't hear it, to Tim Wick.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yay.
Oh, we don't do that.
Maybe not we, but Jenna did it. Jenna made it happen.
I'm susceptible.
Tim Wick is a name that you probably have heard us mention many, many, many times.
He's the asshole that rear-ended
me. Usually
that's when we're talking about Tim. It's a horrible rear-ending joke.
There is usually things muttered before and after your name. Tim is somebody who's... very prolific, I think.
We'll go with prolific.
Right. I mean, been around the block sounds like you're a hooker. I mean,
I'm okay.
Remember,
with that.
Jenna just said we're classy, so we're going with prolific.
I'm a freelancer. That's not so far from being a hooker.
That's completely fair, actually. You may know Tim from being the judge on Vilification Tennis. You may know Tim from being the Boron player and vocalist for the Dregs. You may know Tim from writing and directing and doing all sorts of plays around
the
Twins. So I'm getting there.
Okay, fine.
Things in the Fringe Festival.
Fringe Festival.
And the most importantly, what we are here to discuss today is he is the artistic director for Fearless Comedy Productions.
Is that what we're here to discuss?
I mean, we got a thing coming up we should probably talk about.
Do you guys send notes ahead of time to let people know what you're talking about?
No. I am literally making this up off the top of my head.
If we need to talk about Fearless, I can talk about Fearless.
We can talk about all of your ventures, but... we want to make sure to hit Fearless.
We should hit Fearless.
That is the apex of our conversation.
Our apex topic.
The topic that is at the top of the pyramid.
Pyramid. No.
It's on fire. Before we do that, let's quick mention what we're drinking. We're doing just a kind of a grab bag today here, just kind of cleaning out the fridge, if you will. Tim is not an alcohol drinker in general, so he is drinking ginger ale.
I am. It's very
homemade
good.
Ginger ale.
Mm. Yay.
Jenna?
Tastes like home.
I have the Krabby's Spiced Orange Alcoholic Ginger Beer.
Mm-hmm. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
I also have a side of white wine that I stole from your wife.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have a
chaser. That's legit.
Yeah.
And I am having a New Glarus Black Top. It is a black lager, I believe.
Your face is a black lager.
Your mom's face is a black lager.
Oh, shit. Oh, damn. Yeah.
That's racist and bigoted towards the lumber industry.
I was trying to think. What is that? What do you call lumbering?
Jobist?
Saying the word black when you're referencing the color of something is not racist.
When you call my mother black, yeah. Yeah, it is. Totally, that's what that is.
I mean... kind of.
Not under these circumstances.
Is this like blackface? Because That would be racist.
There is no question. I don't think that...
But you said your mom's a black lager, not your mom's face is a black lager.
Your mom's
mom's
face is a black lager.
Whoa, now it's blackface.
Yeah, it just got really, really awkward.
Now, Jesus Christ.
See, Tim. God damn it. Tim, we don't do that here.
I don't even believe that. I've been on this podcast before.
Yeah, but all those old episodes are gone now. So nobody knows.
There is no record.
There's no record of me ever having been on this podcast.
Nope.
You're welcome.
there's a few people where that is a blessing. Anyway, do you want to start, Jenna, or do you want me to?
I don't even remember what I've been doing. I remember having one of those weekends where I did all of the things, and I'm pretty sure little to none of it is exciting for anybody else. So why don't you go first, and I'll see if there's anything I remember that is exciting.
I was hoping you would go first, because I was on call this weekend, and so I sat at home expecting phone calls.
That's absolutely a shame.
Of which I got quite a few, because we are recording on Tuesday, the 7th of November,
right.
Which, as many of you will probably recognize as being Election Day.
No, they won't.
Oh, my
Aren't
God.
Most of your listeners Canadian?
Well, now that I've told them, they will recognize.
To be fair, Sean Pitre actually today asked me about Republicans, like... Yeah. I was talking about, like, you know, asking people who I should vote for. And he was like, well, what's the ballot like? Do you have a ranking system? Like, he asked a bunch of questions about it. And then somebody listed all of the people. And it's like Democrat, 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 Liberal, Democrat, Democrat. Like, all this stuff. And Sean was like, wow, no Republicans. And I'm like, what do you know about Republicans?
It's Minneapolis.
Well, honestly, when I was living in Switzerland, the thing I learned is... Other countries know more about American politics than Americans
God, yes,
do.
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely know more about American politics than Americans do. Because Americans just go, well, we'll vote maybe like 20% of us vote, and then the other 80% don't. And then we complain about the government. And that's about what 80% of the population knows about government.
Right.
Whereas when I was living over in Switzerland, my classmates who were also in the 19, 18 age range, they just knew like nuance of politics and various things that were going on politically at that point. We had just gotten done with... Clinton's years, we were moving into the George Bush years. It was they knew all of this stuff, and I was just like, I just got done with civics. Like I learned there was three branches of government last year,
right?
So
and you could only name one of them.
Yeah,
at the time,
the olive branch.
Oh, Jesus.
That is a branch of government.
Yes,
it's being held. It's being held by the eagle on the quarter.
Yep.
Oh,
absolutely.
God.
See.
Oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I give up. I do remember what I did with the weekend.
What did
you do? If we can steer away from this line of conversation. Last Friday, we opened the show Open to Interpretation.
I heard about that.
Rand McKay production. We did Turkish Star Trek. Those of you that were on the podcast or listened to the podcast last week heard us talk all about that. It was delightful and ridiculous and silly. Like, we did not take ourselves seriously at all, and I think that was totally the right way to go with that production.
Yeah, I heard good things.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of people. It was like the first fluffy snowfall, and all of the Minnesotans went, holy shit, what do I do with snow? And I'm like, you're Minnesotan. Fucking every year this happened. Why is this... never mind. But
it wasn't even on the roads. It stuck to the trees.
Right. It was... really pretty.
It was
like snow globes.
I was literally, and I'm the actual.
You mean literally
in the correct use.
You
of
literally
the
mean literally.
I was literally dancing at work when I looked out the window and went, "It's snowing," and I started dancing because I knew that everybody was going to be at home.
What kind of dance? Was it a jig?
No, it was just kind of the one of those
like a chair dance.
No, it was one of those drunk frat boy like. The mixing bowl.
What do you know about being a frat boy?
Oh, bloody hell.
I went to parties.
I know you know about being drunk. I just don't know what you know about being a frat
I went
That's
to frat
That's pretty much all you
parties.
Need to know, Tim. Yeah.
I was in college. I attended parties wherein fraternity individuals were were partaking
fraternity
in...
Fraternity individuals.
What does this have to do with
alcohol?
Jenna's story?
I don't know.
I don't know
it was
either.
Snow and I was dancing, and then you asked me about what dance it was. And
I was curious about
I love
the
snow. I love it. I was...
So anyway, we did the show on Friday, and it was...
Turkish Star Trek.
Or
so
and
I've
it
heard.
Was everybody... Every bit as ridiculous as it should have been. My favorite part was there was a part where TJ Koudelis... played the evil professor that was in the show. Like, he read the lines.
We need to have him on.
Yeah, we should.
So how did this work? Because...
Okay.
So it's called Open to Interpretation.
Yep.
and it was Turkish Star Trek. And those Turkish are the two Star things Trek. That I know. Okay. And so, those two things do not conjure up literally anything in my mind.
So what happened? So Turkish movies are like, there's this weird genre of Turkish movies, right? Like where they looked at us kids out in the West and basically stole a bunch of things from us and redid it. They remade it in their
image. Right, because their copyright law doesn't impact
they have
anything made in another country. So they can just fucking steal whatever they want and redo it. And there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah, and they, like, apparently there's a Turkish Star Wars, and they literally lifted footage from Star Wars.
Sure.
And put it into their movies.
No copyright law.
So what Turkish Star Trek did is they took basically, it's mostly the plot of season one, episode one of Star Trek.
Okay.
The salt monster. But they grabbed some other chunks from a couple of other episodes down the road and kind of wedged that into it. And they made it into a movie before there was a Star Trek movie. So sometimes people will refer to it as the first Star Trek movie, which is hilarious. but then, so they took these episodes, they kind of spliced it all together in something resembling a story. But what they did is because they had to have star power behind it, they've got like Omar the Tourist. If you think back to silent film era where you had characters that kind of played throughout several different movies.
Yeah.
Omar the Tourist is that guy. And Omar the Tourist, this character, was in several different movies and several different
He just showed up.
He just showed up in things.
Sure, all right.
Showed up in things, did his thing, whatever. So in Turkish Star Trek, at one point, the villain needs somebody to blame for a murder and decides to go back in time, kidnap a person who had zero effect on Earth history, and take him back to Star Trek time, or forward to Star Trek time, I guess, to blame this murder on this guy.
Sure.
And Omar the Tourist is a doof. He's a womanizer. He's stupid. He's like all of the... He's just a doof. So you've got this doof... And he has knows nothing about the Star Trek world, any of that. And they like beam him up.
Doesn't sound like the people making this movie knew anything about the Star Trek.
Well, world. I mean, they knew enough to have like transporters and stuff, sure. So that's cool.
All right.
So it's kind of like Star Trek with Omar the Tourist thrown into various scenes where he's like most of the movie is Omar the Tourist insulting Spock.
So, okay.
Which is hilarious.
What are the actors doing? What are the performers doing in this
So the performers, they are reading the English interpretation to the film while the film is playing. So it's kind of like a live line read with the movie.
So is the sound from the movie turned off?
It is turned off.
Okay.
And so the performers read the lines for the characters. We made all sorts of weird and bizarre sound effects. Like, you know, if the transporter happened, we all made transporter noises. Sometimes we added lines, like, because the English translation didn't necessarily line up with the Turkish verbiage. Like, one of my lines was, I want salt. I was the salt monster, surprise.
Salt.
Yeah, basically. And it was, like, at least 4 English sentences long in the Turkish mouth moving on the film, but it was just basically, I need salt. So
you had to explain why you wanted salt?
Yeah, I just started making up lines about, because salt is really important to me, because I am a salt monster, and therefore salt. Like, it was just this weird kind of thing. And it sounds absolutely stupid, because it is absolutely stupid. And it went over fantastically. It was dumb. It was ridiculous. So we were mostly reading, but there was some improv. There was playing around with it. It was kind of like MST3K bits and pieces, not as heavy on that level, and Drinking Game and like some of the other like localish shows where you're reading, but then there's other bits and pieces that happen in between.
Okay, so now I understand what was happening.
Yeah.
So then what was the thing that TJ did?
TJ is the villain there was a scene where the villain is like, I'm going to send my robots out to kill these people. And he starts just messing with levers. And it's like a good 45 seconds worth of footage where it's just this villain moving levers. And so TJ said his line, and then he just did evil laughter, the ho, 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 which in TJ's voice was incredible. Mm. And he did that the entire 45 seconds Jesus. That this guy was handling levers. And it was just, it was this beautiful moment of, yes, like, we're, because we got to, you know, kind of fuck with the movie as well as the movie kind
That's
of fucking with us.
Right there.
So, yeah. So yeah, it was stupid, and I wish I could do a better job of explaining it, but it really is just kind of an experience. It's.
I understand it better now than I ever did when it was described to me before.
Me too.
So, so yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no,
I appreciate that.
I don't know how to describe it better than what I've just described, and that's, yeah, it's still not a full description. I just don't have a better description for it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was fun. It was ridiculous. I think there's going to be another one. We're going to tweak some of what we did and how we did it. But yeah, it was a good time. So I did that on Friday. Then after Star Trek, the morning after, I had Star Wars brunch because I'm nerdy like that. And then I did all of the horror festival.
All of the horror festival?
Well, some of the horror festival. I saw three shows. I skipped out on Horror Show Hot Dog.
Fuck the guy in charge of that.
Yeah,
right?
Psh, those guys, psh, whatever. No, I skipped out on it primarily because I had like four parties to go to that night. And I was like, well, they're mini films. I could probably just watch them later if I really wanted to. But these parties are happening and I can't watch those later. So I'm going to go. But I saw one show that really did not do it for me. But I saw Duck's show. What was it? The
Intuition and the Mantis.
Intuition and the Mantis, which was incredible. It was pretty fantastic. It was everything that I wanted from that show. It was very psychological, which is my thing. I like
time traveling, Lovecraftian horror.
Kind of.
Sort of.
A little bit. But the thing that Duck did, and Tim, you were there, so...
I was there. I was in the same theater, just sitting a few seats away from you.
That's true. Duck had some robed figures in masks in the audience. And they were standing there as we came in. Just... I want to say looking at us, but I'm not sure that they were because it was masked.
Yeah, they were looking at us.
I mean, I definitely felt like they were looking at us.
They were definitely looking at us as we walked in. They were judging us.
Yeah, I mean.
Silently.
To be fair, you deserve a little bit of judging.
We all deserve a little bit of judging. Yeah. I deserve more than most. Yeah.
But these robed masked characters were in the audience for most of the show, and they made noises at very specific points. Which added to the experience so incredibly mm-hmm. well. Oh my God. Because it wasn't just stuff happening on stage. Like you were getting pulled into it via sound. Like at the important part. At like these just very specific poignant parts. And it was really good.
I having been there, I will say that I enjoyed it quite a bit. The acting really solid. The immersive effect of putting the performers in the theater was really good. I was only distracted by the fact that the person who was directly behind us is somebody I know well.
Right.
So it was distracting to hear his voice and go, oh, there's John again.
Yep.
But that's not the fault of the director. Perhaps it's more the fault of my own brain.
Yeah.
But it was nice philosophical.
Oh yeah.
Weirdness, the time travel aspect of it was as messed up as any other time travel story, which I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed just the when you're dealing with time travel as an element, it's just kind of like you gotta just roll with it, really.
Right.
because time travel, if you start to think about it too much, it's just, it gets really ridiculous in a hurry.
Well, and a lot of the ethical things that they talked about in that show were really just, I mean, that was the horrific part of it, is that one guy made what he thought was an ethical decision, and it turned out to be an absolutely not, like, good decision at all. And it, but the ethics behind it, it's like the, you know, the no good choice type of thing, because you don't know what's going to happen, so what's the better choice kind of a thing. I enjoyed that aspect of it. What are the ethics behind if you're going to hurt somebody but they don't remember it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. Like, what are the ethics behind how much can you put into what it is that you're doing? How much betterment is there in that versus, you know, the actions of the now? Do the ends justify the means kind of a thing? I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah. So, saw that. And then saw Matt Kesson's Science Daily Bop. He does that, the
Reverend
the
Matt's Monster Science.
There you go.
Werewolves.
Yes. Which was, of course, Matt Kesson and Delightful. Like, I don't even, I could talk more about it, but it was as amazing as every other Matt Kesson show. So we all just know he's good.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen a Matt Kesson Monster Science presentation, he just has a flawless delivery, really solid writing.
And it was a really full house, too.
Yeah, he almost filled the theater, so good for him.
Which doesn't happen in the Southern, like...
Not for the Horror Fest as much. Yeah, it's a big theater.
It's like 200-some seats.
The Horror Fest is still finding its audience, which I think is a shame. I really feel like, you know, with the fact it's in its sixth year, the fact that they really do a good job bringing in, I think, generally very solid producing companies, it surprises me a little that they aren't coming close to selling out every show. I keep thinking that they're just, you know, a year away from not having enough seats for everybody who wants to see what they're doing.
Right.
And so, apparently there's still at least another year from that.
Well, next year in
Paris.
Next year,
maybe they won't be a year from that.
There you go.
Maybe not.
Maybe. So anyway, I did that. Then I went to a bunch of parties. Yep.
Eric Knight's 50.
Oh, God. He's so old.
He really is.
Yeah. So yeah, I went to Eric Knight's birthday party for a little bit. Hung out, shot the shit. Called Eric old.
Like a bunch of times?
Like a lot.
Because he's so old, he didn't remember.
Super old. Yeah. That was a bunch of the stuff that I did. Yep. That's pretty much everything I either
covered
had.
It.
Got it. Done. Salsa. Yep. You seem distracted.
Yeah, I've got things going on.
Is it work related?
No.
Is it Fearless related?
No.
Then why are you doing it, Salsa?
Right? What the fuck?
Because it's important.
Okay. Fine. Tim, what did you do this weekend?
Well, that's a good question, Jenna. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome,
On
sir.
Friday night, I opened a new show at Can Cam Wonderland. It is a retro game night. We're going to be doing it twice monthly. We started with Match Game.
Nice.
Which is that's right. And so we played an hour and a half of Match Game. We played to a mostly full house in a fairly small theater, but
still
the audience really seemed to enjoy themselves. We're going to be doing that again in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be doing it every other week. I'm hosting it for now, and as we get further into the process, I'm going to start handing it over to other hosts, because trying to do a show twice a month
can be kind of a bitch.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
And there are other shows that are happening like on the same nights that I have to miss.
Right? Turkish Star Trek?
Like Turkish Star Trek. I couldn't go see it. We had the Glovers, Team Glover.
We had
Bill and Sharon Steitler.
Oh, my God. You had all the married comedy couples.
We did. And then we had Brian Alexander, who some folks may know as Piss Poor the Magician. And,
yes.
Lauren Haven from Fearless. Fearless Comedy Productions.
What?
We might bring them up. So, and then we would bring audience members up. and they didn't understand because nobody knows what Match Game is anymore. Match Game, it's not you do Family Feud, and they know what Family Feud is because they've got modern versions of Family
they
Feud,
do.
Right?
And they have very bright visuals for that. I don't feel like Match Game ever had like this super visual,
yeah,
catchy thing.
It doesn't.
Going on.
It doesn't, but it is fun.
Right.
But the trick is you got to explain it to the audience.
Right.
Before you can do it, because they don't have any point of reference, really. Most
right.
of them. It's like one or two people might be like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Match Game. And other
right.
than that, nobody has any idea. So that still was the easiest thing to start out with because it doesn't require a lot of technical stuff. So that's what
yeah.
we did. And that
nice.
Was fun. And that was Friday night.
Very cool.
And then Saturday, I seem to recall having gone to the horror festival.
What?
I think I saw a show called Intuition in the Mantis.
Oh, that sounds like a good show.
It was a good show.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was a time travel thing with a
right?
sort of a Lovecraftian element
okay.
to it. Then I took a break and we went to the Town Hall Brewery, or we tried to go to the Town Hall Brewery. We were doing a Fearless Hangout where members of the Fearless Company sort of get together and hang out. But
right.
We got to Town Hall exactly too late to get a table.
Mm.
So we ended up having to split up.
Yeah.
And half of us ate at Town Hall and half of
we,
us
We all should have just gone over to Corner Bar.
We should have all gone over to the Corner Bar. And if I had it to do over again, then maybe Duck Show would be real. So I guess... the thing is, we didn't do that. And then we went back and we watched Matthew Kesson's show. I went over to Eric Knight's house to celebrate his 50th birthday.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Tim this weekend, you guys.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Jenna.
Yeah.
And then, Sunday we went, we took the children, the children and my wife, my lovely wife, Pat, and myself went to see Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
In which Thor and Hulk were Thoring and Hulking it up.
Nice.
And then Sunday night, I recorded an episode of my podcast that used to be Jenna's podcast, A
Ooh.
Real Education.
I remember that. That was so long ago.
We watched a movie called The Sting, which I bet Jenna hasn't seen, but it doesn't matter.
I don't think I have.
Yeah, you probably haven't.
Shit.
And you still haven't because it's...
God damn it.
Yeah, you're not on the podcast anymore,
no.
But it's a really good movie, and we had a really fun time. We've got a new stunt Jenna, who's kind of our permanent stunt Jenna.
You got a permanent stunt
yeah,
Jenna,
though? Yeah, Barb Lind is somebody who
cool.
has apparently not seen very many movies. So
excellent. Well done.
So we've been able to use her, and so basically she's our first person that we ask, and then if
nice.
She's seen it, then we ask somebody else.
Very cool.
So it's humming right along and doing well. And then the Dregs rehearsed on Monday night. We have our Christmas shows coming up in
yes.
December, so we started practicing holiday music and looking at possibly a couple, three, four new songs for the
Ooh.
Christmas show this year. And I'm trying to write a new song about Jewish, about Hanukkah.
But that's not Christmas.
No, it is called the Dregs Holiday Show.
Oh, okay.
Intentionally.
Why do you hate Jesus?
We are waging a war on on Christmas
Why
shows.
Why do you hate baby Jesus?
We are, well, technically at that point, isn't he just a newborn? I mean, he's not even a baby yet.
Actually, Jesus was probably born closer on Easter time as far as historians can tell. So.
Yeah. So really, we don't hate baby Jesus. He's not even there yet.
I suppose.
But yeah, so I'm working on, we have a song called Hanukkah for Gentiles that we've been performing
yes.
for a while. And I just feel like we need another Hanukkah song, but I have to figure out what it's going to be about. Because
sure.
writing a song is easy if you know what it's about. And saying I'm going to write a Hanukkah song doesn't really help.
It doesn't get to the grit of it.
No.
You have an overall setting, but not necessarily a theme.
Yeah. So there aren't a lot of... It's like there's not a Sharknado movie set at Hanukkah.
Oh.
And that would be a good...
Now I want Sharknado on Hanukkah.
Well, that would be pretty
There'd be
cool,
eight
right?
days of Sharknado.
Eight
oh
days
my
of
God.
Sharknado. There'd be menorahs.
Yes.
Whoa. So there'd be sharks.
Dreidels.
And
oh my God. Dreidels.
Sharks and fire and dreidels.
There'd be spinning dreidels.
That's
all
literally
over the place.
All anybody
Shark
knows.
Shark dreidel.
Dreidel. Yeah, so
dreidel.
That I mean, that was my weekend. It was busy. My weekends are busy. I do stuff.
Yeah,
I did
Good
a lot
you.
Of stuff.
Good for you.
Thanks for asking.
Oh, and today is voting day.
Today is voting day.
It is.
Did
and
we all vote?
I elected.
We mentioned that. Yeah.
Yay!
Yep.
But not only did I elect, I have to point this out that my eldest Alex turned 18.
Oh Jesus Christ!
On September 26th.
What?
Yeah. He turned 18 on September 26th, so I took him with me to vote today. Mm. His first election, and he voted, and I explained what was going on. I talked to him about the candidates. I told him, you know, make your own choice.
Yeah.
This is what your mom and I are doing for the school board. He was like, I don't really know what to do there. And I said, well, your grandmother used to be a school teacher, and she really mm-hmm. knows a lot about who the teachers are talking about as being good choices for the school board. So maybe you should call your grandmother and ask her what she thinks you should do. So he called his grandma and got her thoughts on it. And he went ahead and voted with what she suggested. But
that's fair.
I mean, he didn't do a lot of online research. We're working on him with that. But the point is, we got him to the voting booth, and it's an off year. You know, it's not, this is like one of the worst turnouts you're ever going to get.
Right.
For an election,
mm-hmm.
because there's no national offices, not even any state offices. The state legislature and Senate are not up. The governor is up next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally just the mayor and the school board in St. Paul.
Right.
There was like an auditor or treasurer or something on ours as well.
Oh,
like,
we had a tax something or other.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was two people will be elected and two people on the ballot. So it was.
Yeah. I only voted for one of them.
It's either vote for them or don't. I did have the opportunity, though, with the ranked choice voting in St. Paul to point out to my son, I'm like, this candidate right here, do not vote for under any circumstances.
Right.
Because she's one of those perpetual candidates.
Oh, is she that turf
Sharon
person?
Sharon Anderson is her name.
Oh, she wasn't the turf.
She's one of those perpetual candidates. She runs for something every year. And if you ever read her platform, it's like she is very against cybercrime. But what she means by cybercrime is that she has a criminal record and it's kept on a computer.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what she means.
Oh.
That's what she means. And I'm like, this is somebody who is suffering from mental illness, and it's paranoid delusions, and you don't want that person in office. Look at what happens when we elect one of them president.
Right.
So I managed to steer him away from that.
We have ranked voting in Minneapolis, too, now, and that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how pleased I am with the whole ranked voting thing. Elected.
We'll see when you find out who got elected.
No, I don't even care because mathematically speaking, it's a way better deal than what we had. Like, just the actual math behind it is better. Even if it doesn't yield the results I specifically want, the math behind it is better.
Mm-hmm.
We had mayor, we had the tax dude, we had parks. We had like five different sections for Minneapolis. So that was.
Did Minneapolis have city council?
I
saw some people voting for city council, but maybe it wasn't Minneapolis.
I
really kind of didn't pay a lot of attention.
You were the worst.
No, it was mayor. And
this is why we should have let the Swiss vote for you.
No, this is the thing. It was, I did the research on the different ones and I went, okay, this is the person, this is the person, this is the person that I want. And I don't remember what they were for.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you did your research.
Like, no, I looked. Yeah. I went online and I found the ballot that had the links to all of the different websites that this is what I believe in and stuff like that. And I went, okay, cool. For this section, I'm going to write down this name, and then promptly forgot what it was because it's not a, like, president. That's easy to remember. This is like
mayor was easy.
Counselor
to remember.
Of the Exchequer in the second. It was. I've already forgotten what it was called.
All right. Politics are local, salsa. You need to remember that.
I forgot what the office is called. I know who I voted for because I had it written on my little piece of paper, and then promptly forgot what the office was.
To be fair, I did something very similar. But for me, I like to do some of my own research, get some of my own ideas first, and then I like to ask my friends. I like to ask my friends if they have specific people they're voting for, what their opinions are, what they know about these people. Because, number one, I do have a lot of friends that are very active in the local politics scene. And they're going to have a better idea of these people on a personal basis than I'm going to be able to find on a website. Because you can say one thing on a website, but what's your track record? What have you been known to say off the front page? Things like that. So, and I try to take all of that into account. One of my friends was very for one person for mayor who's huge into to solving housing issues, which I'm a major fan of that as a renter specifically. But then, you know, another friend was like, yeah, but they don't have a very steady track record for things that they've done in the past. And so I got to like basically see that whole debate happen in front of me and pick out the things that I thought were more relevant and whatnot. And they're like, oh yeah, they got this thing passed, but they didn't get this thing passed. And how much do you take into account what you're working against as far as, opposing parties in the house, like all of this stuff. So yeah. Being able to see my friends have dialogue and usually very good dialogue about it is really important to me in the voting process.
No, yeah, it works if you have smart friends.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I try to.
You've got a couple of smart friends.
A few.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Nobody in this room.
Has Saul said what he did this weekend?
No,
yet?
He hasn't.
I said what I did this weekend at the beginning, which was I stayed at home.
He was on call. He was uncle.
I sat at home waiting for the phone to ring, and occasionally the phone rang, and I fixed somebody's computer. That's what I did.
From your phone?
No, with my computer.
Oh.
The phone rang. I answered it. They said my computer's broken. I got on my computer and fixed it. That's all I did this weekend.
I did tech support for somebody's phone the other day. I don't even remember what was wrong. I just remember somebody was like, I'm having a problem with this app. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. Here, I've got an idea. Let's start with this. Why don't you close out of the app and reopen it again and see if that fixes it?
Yeah.
And they did, and it fixed it. And I was like, done.
Yeah. Now you can have Salsa's job.
So, yeah. How
much you don't have to freelance anymore.
Oh, you know what?
Way more than you do as a freelancer.
I bet you do. Yeah.
I tell you what. There is one story that I would like to regale.
Good.
This
excellent.
Did not happen this weekend. It happened this morning, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
So the kids have a penchant for waking up way too early.
Because they're kids.
Because they're kids.
I love children.
And I have a penchant for not waking up until I need to.
Right.
So the kids, I mean,
yeah.
They get up, they go to the living room, Lilibeth turns on the TV. We've made it a habit of making sure that the TV is on the correct channel at night before we turn it off. So all she has to do is hit the power button and it's on the right channel for commercial or for cartoons. And, you know, TPT kids. So they watch, you know, educational
6 hours of Caillou.
Yeah, no, actually that's the great thing. We have trained our children in the event Caillou comes on, they run to get us and say, Caillou's on. And we go and change the channel.
In the event of Caillou.
In the event of Caillou, they come and get us and tell us Caillou's on. And we change the channel for them. We have trained our kids very, very well. But no, the kids wake up, Lilibeth goes, turns on the TV, and then they play in the living room and watch cartoons until I wake up. And this is just the way we do things.
Yeah. I had Jessa trained in a very similar fashion. Mm-hmm. The cereal was kept on the bottom shelf, and she would just help herself.
Too. And if they wake up before my wife leaves for work, she's a teacher, so she's out
bloody
really
ass early in the morning. Yeah.
But if they are awake in time to catch her before she leaves, she'll pour them a bowl of cereal and stuff like that.
Right.
Otherwise, I'll take care of it when I wake up. But I woke up this morning, and I go out to the living room, and only my daughter is there. I was like, oh, where's your brother? Oh, he's still in his room. Okay, so I go to his room, and I open the door, and he is sitting there, and he has found his Halloween bag, and he is sitting in a just strewn mess of open wrappers and half-eaten candy bars.
Was he testing them out to figure out which one was his favorite?
I think he was just in so much bliss that he was just opening and stuffing.
Huh.
Like, it was open one, take a bite. Open one, take a bite. He was going to town. Like, there was a half-eaten crunch bar and like an open bag of M&Ms.
How could you waste half a Crunch Bar?
And
that
like way? There was some dots that were just all over the place, and like half a Tootsie Roll was just like he was, and just chocolate on his face, and
he found toddler habit.
Oh yeah, oh my god, and this was, you know, 8 a.m. or whatever it was. It was just like, oh no. This is not going to end well. So I yelled at him for that and took away the candy and stuff. But and then yeah, I got to daycare and I was just like,
I'm sorry.
So and my kid's already a crazy child. So if he's a little bit more crazy, this is why. And I'm sorry.
Is it one of those things where you're like holding him, you know, with your arm, with your hands underneath his arms,
and
his
like,
legs are like going a mile a
just
minute,
just a blur, and you just a blurry, a blurry
and you
circle.
Set him down, and it's just like
road runner,
just a blurry
road runner in your arms.
You set him down, and he actually sinks 3 inches into the ground before he actually moves forward. Yeah,
yeah,
totally that. Yeah, no, he was a crazy child. So that's all I have really to talk.
Why did you leave the candy where he could get to it?
I took the candy. We honestly don't know how he got the candy. Like, I talked to my wife. I was like, where did you leave? Where did we leave the candy? And we were like, I thought we left it like on.
Like up
on,
high.
Yeah. We don't know how he got it. Somebody must have moved it to somewhere where he could climb up and get it. I don't know. We don't even remember exactly where it ended.
Or he's got fancy acrobatic tricks that you haven't even discovered yet.
Yeah. I mean, and he does have a sister, so.
Yeah.
Anyway. An accomplice.
Ooh. I tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk about the upcoming events of
Sweet.
Stuff.
Events.
Of stuff. Of stuff.
And stuff. Because there's more than one.
Do, 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 do.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Tim.
Yay!
And hey, you may have heard us mention this a few times, but Give to the Max is coming up.
Give to the Max? What's that, Salsa?
Winter is coming.
I'm so glad you asked, Tim.
My pleasure.
And here to describe Give to the Max, we have the artistic director of Fearless Comedy Productions, Tim Wick.
You son of a bitch.
See what I did there?
I saw what you did there. I don't respect it, but I Give to the Max Day. That's a great question. Give to the Max Day is Thursday, the 16th of November, and it is a day in which pretty much every nonprofit you know is out there trying to raise money because the Give to the Max Day group that puts this together makes it really easy. They put together a whole bunch of tools to help nonprofits raise money. They actually give out some things that are called golden tickets. So everybody who raises money over the course of the day is eligible to get like additional donations that Give to the Max just tosses in on top of it. So Fearless has now for, I think this is our third year doing anything, but this is our second year kind of really trying to do a big deal.
Just right. to touch on Give to the Max, that's just a Minnesota thing, right?
I believe there are Give to the Max days in other states.
I think you're right.
But this, the 16th specific is
Give to the Max Minnesota.
Yeah, because it's part of Give MN, which is basically a place for nonprofits to find money, and this is their kind of annual.
I just pictured a bunch of nonprofits with like metal detectors.
I mean, that's
it's a bunch of nonprofits with metal detectors going all over the internet, seeing who still hasn't given to somebody
basically
yet.
What it right, is. Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the year, looking for those fat wallets, looking for those tax write-offs.
Right. So we are pushing for raising $6,000 this year, which is about $1,000 more than we made last year.
Right.
We're in pretty good shape. We already have over $3,250. In
Jesus
matching donations.
Christ. Yes.
So, you know, we're more than halfway to the goal before we even start. We have been pushing pretty hard to get some advanced donations. They will let you start collecting donations as of November 1st.
Right.
And we are close to $1,000 in donations for pre
That means we have about $2,000 of matching grant left, though, right?
That does. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've got lots of room. And the thing is that what I'm actually excited about, and you know, you go out there, you ask for money, and we actually, the three of us are represented by teams.
Oh my God, we have three different teams money, here.
Trying to raise money pre-Give to the Max Day. So I represent Team Mystery, which is a team of people that have worked with me on some of the Mystery Lodge shows that we've done for Fearless.
Yep.
And then I believe, Jenna, are you not representing Team Sexy?
I am representing Team Sexy, which is a bunch of women from Fearless Comedy specific, because women are generally underrepresented in comedy. A bunch of ladies wanted to get together and put a more sexy spin on collecting donations. Mm-hmm.
So, and then Salsa represents Team Casimir.
That's correct. Team Casimir, which is the embodiment of the fearlessness of Fearless comedy productions. Comedy. Because we literally do really stupid, fearless things.
So Team Casimir, you have somebody who's learned how to do the blockhead routine.
That's correct. Mm. Yes.
You have a sword swallower.
Yep, I will be swallowing swords. We have, and I mean, all of these are really classic sideshow
Act. Yeah, and we'll get to why that's a thing in a minute.
We've got a sword swallower. We've got somebody shoving a spike up his nose. We've got an insectivore. Like, these are all really classic sideshow acts. The strongman is actually in the show, but he's not part of Team Casimir because he is actually not a fearless member.
All right. Okay.
And actually, it's not a strongman anymore. It's an acrobat act. But that just changed.
Is it really? What?
You didn't know. It just changed like yesterday.
No, so. I'm angry about that, and I'm going to message him.
Well, I think you should do a little bit of a strongman.
I agree.
In the acrobat act. So you should work on that with him. But and I mean, I assume that there will be maybe in the show notes links to these these pages, and you can donate.
There absolutely will.
Yep. Yeah,
we should also mention, even though there is not a representative here, there is also a fourth Team Pie.
There is.
And Team Pie represents the vaudevillian
comedy.
Team
Pie is classic. Ahead.
Yeah,
they're winning.
This is, for fairness sake, I'm mentioning them, but...
And we mentioned this earlier. James is a part of Team Pie, and I feel like maybe that's why he's not on the podcast these next few weeks. It's because he's out there raising money for Team Pie.
Well, and he's doing a good job.
I mean, they're in the lead.
There can be no denying.
Are they?
They were in the lead earlier today.
I think
earlier
Team Casimir today, may...
Oh, did Team Casimir overtake Team Pie?
Possibly.
Look, I know that Team Mystery and Team Sexy are the bottom two.
Team Mystery was bringing up the rear earlier this evening.
So, but,
we'll see,
you know...
We'll see how things turn out. But
we'll see.
Even, you know, the thing that we are doing for Give to the Max Day, and I'm excited about this. We're a theater company, so we decided to do a theater thing at the Mounds Theater in St. Paul. We are doing Fearless Marvels. And what it is a circus sideshow kind of setup.
Yes.
Kind of World War One circus sideshow. We've got sideshow acts like Sword Swallower, like an insectivore. Yeah. We have a magician. We have a misfortune teller.
I'm so excited for misfortune.
A misfortune teller, yes. And we also have some like main stage acts, including some vaudeville acts, some music. My band, The Dregs, is going to be there. We're going to do a few songs. It's just kind of like, and then what we put on top of it, we put a mystery. So,
oh no, Team Pie has also made gains, so they are still ahead.
Shit.
So you should donate to Team Casimir.
You should donate to Team Sexy
or Team Mystery because we are in last place.
Empower the women. Empower the women.
Mystery as to why we're in the last place. Why? Because you listeners have not given us any money. the thing is, there's going to be a mystery. Because it's set during World War One, and the idea is one of the performers is a German spy, and you have to figure out which one it is. So it's just going to be something that's sort of laid over the top of what everybody's doing. It's not an actual play. It's just the audience is actually going to be given a cipher when they come into the theater, and then their job is to interpret the cipher. And if they can decipher the code, it will tell them in code who the spy is.
Oh, that's fun.
And if they can
bring your decoder rings.
I know, right?
And if they can guess who the spy is, then they can drop their program into a basket to draw for a prize.
Nice.
So if you get the right answer, you can win a prize. And so we're doing things like The cipher is pictograms. And here's one. I'm going to tell this to your listeners.
Oh, is this a hot scoop?
This is a hot scoop.
Ooh, hot scoop.
This is a clue. So if you come.
Holy shit.
If you come, here's the thing. The pictograms are based on a circus sideshow. So for instance, there's a pictogram of a sword swallower.
What?
I wonder what that might mean.
And that pictogram is specifically representing a certain letter of the alphabet. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I am going to tell you that you've gotten all of the information you might need to know what letter a sword swallower might represent.
Okay.
Then
if you can use that and other clues that will be around the theater, you can decipher the code, and then that will give you the hint that you need to figure out who the spy is. And
nice.
So that's kind of a fun thing. And the thing is that this is stuff that's going to be going on where basically there's going to be like a 20-minute main stage act and then a little bit of a break, and then there will be acts happening around the theater for about 10 to 15
kind
minutes.
Kind of classy 10-in-1 going on. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Classy 10-in-1. And then there's also, from what I understand, they're going to have some special drinks tied to the theme.
Oh, I love the Mound special drinks. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They come up with the best shit. Seriously.
So it's that show is a recommended $20 donation, but recommended donation means, you know, come, and if you can't pay $20, pay $5.
Yeah.
If you can't pay $5, don't even pay anything. We'd love to have a bunch of people show up.
I would love to have people there regardless. Yeah. Just show up and have fun.
And seriously, if you can't pay anything, somebody's going to walk through the door and they're going to give $30. And it all evens out.
It will probably even out.
All money taken in at the door goes equally to benefit Fearless Comedy Productions and the Historic Mounds Theater. And
we do love the Historic Mounds Theater.
We do. They've been really friendly to us with Fearless. And, you know, I don't know. I know some of your listeners aren't local. So all the Canadians, you're not going to be able to go. And I'm sorry about that. But you can donate online.
Yeah, you can.
You can
to
donate
Team Sexy.
Online to Team Mystery.
Sexy.
Mystery.
Sexy.
Casimir.
That's Casimir with a K, isn't it?
Casimir with a K-A-Z-I-M-I-R.
You have to know this, right? That anytime you try and type Casimir with a Z, it autocorrects to an S.
Does it?
Yeah, on Facebook, in my email programs.
I've never had a problem.
Anytime I type Casimir with a Z and I hit space, it corrects it to an S.
Interesting.
Like, fuck you, autocorrect.
It's
trying to spell cashmere.
I was actually, dun-dun-dun. I was really happy dun-dun-dun. Because just dun-dun-dun. Either today or dun-dun-dun. Yesterday, somebody dun-dun-dun. Liked my Casimir Facebook page, and their actual name was Casimir.
Sweet.
What? With a Z?
No, exactly. Some Russian dude was doing a search for his name and found this Casimir page. He was like, I like it.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what he doesn't even know what it does.
Probably not. I just was like, hey, there's a guy named Casimir.
And he says, I'm going to hack and make him change his vote to Trump. And then
all of his money is going to Team Sexy now.
Oh my God, I need to talk to some Russians.
So it's not enough asking for money. I mean, I think the thing is that this is all to support Fearless. The three of us are Fearless company members. we've been doing a lot of stuff over the last couple of years I'm really proud of, including Anxiety the Musical. I don't know if you talked about that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But it was a original show about anxiety disorder, which I thought was great.
Yes.
It was this comedy musical about social anxiety. But it was still... What really impressed me about it watching the show was it was very respectful. It wasn't like, haha, those people with social anxiety, aren't they funny?
Well, yeah, because a lot of the people involved with it had an anxiety as well. Like, yeah. You know.
So it was a really respectful,
it was very respectful. I think the person that I saw it with said that it was very cathartic for them.
Hmm. Yeah.
I did have some moments where it was a little freaky for me. But yeah, overall, like it was... Even with those moments, it was still a really good show, and I felt like it really just hit the nail upon the top.
Yeah,
it was just dead on with what it was doing. So,
and that was new people; they'd never written a musical before. Yeah. We gave them the opportunity to write and produce a show that was a passion project for the producer, and we were able to give them that opportunity. And we also this year we got to produce a murder mystery on a paddle boat.
Yes.
So great.
Oh, we have talked about that at length on this podcast.
It was so much fun to do that show.
So good.
Oh, my God. He's not Russian. He's Tanzanian.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Are we racist?
I know.
You're racist.
Yes. You call them Russian. We just played along.
No,
yeah, we didn't have any
Casimir is a Russian name.
Okay.
I got it out of a Russian baby name book.
I mean, okay.
So there.
You can get my name out of an American baby name book, but that doesn't mean it's an American name.
I mean, it kind of is.
Timothy, it's Irish, you jackass. You are such a...
It can also be American.
He is super racist.
So Tim is not an American name?
It is used in America, but that doesn't mean
Well, there you go. It's okay. Used in Tanzania, but
gentlemen,
it's from Russia.
Gentlemen,
so there.
Gentlemen, I am turning this boat right back. I want to know, Tim, because I don't actually know. I don't actually know, and I'm really curious, who are all of the people performing
Sure.
for Give to the Max Day, like the Marvels. I really want to know because I don't know.
Sullivan Fox, which is a band featuring Angela Fox, who is a Fearless Company
yes.
member. We have, and I'm not going to remember all the names of the acts, and I
okay.
apologize for that. We have a comedy duo that's doing sort of a Who's on First routine, an original
nice.
Who's on First mm-hmm. routine. We have a hypnotist act.
Oh my God, yes.
We have Tom Bleasy, who is doing his terrific Tom magic act.
Mm-hmm.
We have
yes.
Toil and Tumble. We have Casimir
yes.
the Hungry. We have a as yet unnamed blockhead act and an
okay.
as yet unnamed insectivore mm-hmm. act. We
oh,
have
God.
The Ridiculous Puppet Company doing Misfortune, the Misfortune Teller.
I'm so excited
we
for that.
We have the Dregs.
Excellent.
We're going to be doing music. We have someone doing burlesque. I'm trying to remember who that is.
Bit of Honey.
Bit of Honey. Yeah, I've yep. heard that mm-hmm. she's got a really good act lined up for us. We also have a group called Just Desserts, which is going to be doing silent comedy routine. I will tell you they are members of Team Pie, which might give you some idea where that comedy routine
there's God, a pun in there
might be going.
Aww.
I think that's all we have, but I mean
shit.
So all these acts will be rotating throughout the
nice.
night. So anytime you get there, it's not like you're going to be a situation where if you arrive the show starts at 7 and if you arrive at 8 you've missed an hour
mm-hmm.
of material. You arrive at 8 and
you
most
just
of
don't
these,
know where
it's,
yeah.
it's continuous side and tight and big tent.
Right.
Shows.
And then you have the opportunity to
Straight
talk
up.
To Fearless members. We're going to tell you about what Fearless has meant for them, experiences that they've had that have
mm-hmm.
been important to them, which is a big thing. I mean, what we are is we're a developmental company. What we want to do is help people develop their talents as comedians,
mm-hmm.
explore what they want to do and give them the support to help them get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's why we're doing this. That's what Give to the Max Day is about. That's why we're doing a big thing for Give to the Max Day. We're raising money to support the company. One of the big things about the company is we pay our artists because I think it's important.
Which seems completely duh, but is not necessarily
it's not
duh.
Necessarily. Like
yeah.
there's a lot of theater out there where you make nothing
mm-hmm.
or the tiniest of stipends. And we don't just try to give somebody's like $10 and say, here you go,
yeah.
kid. Good job. Build
we
that
try,
resume.
We can't give them, you know, we obviously can never pay somebody what
they're
genuinely worth.
Yeah.
But we pay them better than a lot of theaters do. And that's one
yeah.
of the places the money goes to. We are working on finding our own space because right now we're performing in areas all over the Twin Cities. We'd really like to have our own space. So any money
mm-hmm.
that isn't spent on productions is saved. And we are working actively on a couple of prospects to start working on getting that space to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the money does go to create a lot of really impressive theater experiences in the Twin Cities and has gone to really help a lot of theater comedy artists learn new things about their voice and about their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm really proud of what we do.
Not just
yeah.
as performers, but as writers, as we have people who are learning the tech side
oh, yeah.
of
We've got
directing,
a huge tech
yeah, directing, like
I've learned
producing.
An awful lot about directing through this company.
There is
Are you kidding
so
me?
Many things that go into it aside from just getting on stage and being funny. And one of the things I absolutely love about this company is the fact that I can step in and say I want to produce a show, and people go, I will help you do that, or I want to direct, and people go, I will help you do that, or I just want to learn how to run lights and sound, and somebody will help you do that, and all of that is relevant to
mm-hmm.
running a successful theater, and we try to do all of that, and I really like that. So that is Give to the Max.
Give to the Max.
Give to the Max.
But like you said, that was not everything. We that was just the
That was just the apex. That was the acme. Now we're gonna look at some of the other things. For example, just tomorrow we start rehearsals again for the remount of Mystery at Mystery Lodge.
Mystery at Mystery Lodge.
Oh, which my God, that series.
I am really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's the first mystery show we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the only one that's not a murder mystery so far.
It was a lot of fun. And we're doing it at this one's in Fergus Falls.
Bigwood Conference Center in Fergus Falls.
On December 1st.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an audience of around 300 people.
It's huge.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
The room is gigantic. I went up with the director, Duck Washington, to tour it a couple of weeks ago. And
we've already sold a lot of tickets.
They've sold more than two-thirds of the tickets.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. So if people do want tickets to
that's a huge venue,
where do
too.
They need?
I believe you can go to the Bigwood Conference Center. We also do have an event that we've created on the Fearless Comedy Productions page, Mystery at Mystery Lodge, and there is a link to where you can buy tickets there. So if you wanted to go up to Fergus Falls and check it out, I actually recommend it. It's an interactive mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an opportunity to talk to the characters and try and figure out who committed the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And it's genuinely funny.
I know. It's pretty surprising. Yeah,
like,
since
whoa. There's comedy in our comedy?
Well, but it's honestly, like, you think of a mystery, one of these interactive mystery shows, and you try to picture it, and you go, you know, you've got the cigar chomping, the blonde walked into my office one hip at a time, and like, that's what you
I'm
conjure.
I'm totally going to write that
But
now.
You try, yes. try...
That's how I walk into
but
every
try
office,
try thinking
by
of
the
doing
way.
One of these interactive mysteries as a comedy with improv, and the first time I heard this idea, I went, I'm in... But I have no idea how I was afraid it could be campy. It could be very campy. It could be very cliche. And to the credit of all of the writers, it wasn't. It was genuinely funny and engaging and still a mystery. It wasn't this poorly, ham-handed attempt at mystery. No, it was like the mystery aspects are very well put together, and the comedy aspects are very well put together, and the working the interactive improvisational in with the scripted part was very well put together, and it I think it's a huge testament to the people who conceived of and wrote the show that it obviously was good enough to spawn five more shows
at
this point?
We have now got six different mystery shows.
Jeez. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
All from the success of that first one.
Yeah.
And so if it was successful enough to spawn five more iterations, you should probably go see it, because it's worth something.
It wasn't necessarily successful, but it was sexy. Like, Team sexy.
But it was,
yes!
But it was pretty fearless, like Team Casimir.
That doesn't...
But it was a mystery, like Team Mystery.
I suppose Tim actually has the upper hand on this one.
I feel like I do.
I feel like
no, he actually. Yeah. And honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that Team Casimir existed, I would probably be on Team Mystery too. Because I was part of that original cast.
You was,
and I am a part of this cast, and I'm really honestly. Because that was how long ago?
It wasn't as long as it was not. It was 2015 spring.
Yeah,
was
so
when
a
we
couple...
did it. So it's been just over 2.5 years since we started doing it.
To be able to go and do that character again, I'm really honestly looking forward to it.
I'm sure you will do great. I look forward to seeing it. I'll be up there to watch it. I've been the producer on all the mystery shows, mm-hmm. and writer on most of them. So okay. I bring in a team for each one, I've kind of kept my hand on the wheel a little bit, and going forward, I'm probably going to hand off head writing duties on a few of the upcoming shows.
Okay.
So sure. We're going to do a show at Convergence,
yes,
which is a murder mystery that happens during a panel at Convergence.
So excited.
Nice,
yeah,
it makes me so happy.
And we've been contacted to do another Murder on the Mississippi. So we're going to do another Murder on the Mississippi. The lodge that hired us to start this project is being sold. So we actually will not be working with them anymore. So I'm going to work on marketing our shows outside of that customer, which I was working on anyway. So we'll try and get a little more aggressive with it. Because it's really, it is different from other mystery shows that are out there.
Very much so.
And we've been really having a good time. And it's a fun idea that we've been able to customize different venues and different ideas.
Well, also, you can have the same show with different results, or you can have a different show with obvious. So you can mix and match.
Mystery, the show that you're doing, we actually performed twice for the same customer, and we rewrote it so the solution was different the second time, so if people came both times, they wouldn't necessarily know the solution the second time.
That's
fantastic. And I'm sure it wouldn't be difficult to do that with any of the other ones, too. So you can really, as a company, go, we want to, you know, hire you to do this show, and we can either do a new original one and make it 7, 8, 9 or whatever, or we can do one of the existing ones with ending A or ending B, and I mean,
oh my god, it's like Clue.
It really is
a little bit.
Yes.
Which is
your singing telegram
bang,
which I think was kind of the inspiration for a lot of this, but
a little bit, yeah
because I know you were talking about doing
a version of Clue in a mansion. And that never did come about, but now I would love to find a mansion where we could do a murder mystery that's not Clue, but just a mystery.
That's Clue-ish.
Clue-ish.
Yeah, Clue-esque.
Oh, man.
I like Clue-esque.
Can you imagine doing a murder, imagine doing a mystery lodge at the Hill House?
That'd be awesome. Also, that be amazing? I will be, I'm submitting a mystery show for The Fringe next year.
Awesome.
Called Murder in the Round.
I wonder what theater you're hoping for.
I'm hoping by naming it that I'll make it easier.
The Raring Thrust?
Oh, shit.
I'll change it to Murder in the Thrust.
Right. Yeah.
Murder in the Proscenium.
Right.
I did the first two and haven't been able to do any of the other ones, but I really hope that my schedule in the next coming years opens up, because especially the one on the Mississippi, I was really bummed I couldn't audition for that one. So
that was a tough show to write, but
I believe it was tough because I would not have known where to start with that one. But it was a shit ton of fun.
It was a fun show. Yeah. Really proud of that one. We had to do a show that had multiple staging areas that we decided we were going to have scenes happening simultaneously on different parts of the boat. The performers had to be in character basically from the moment the boat left to the dock to the moment it got back.
Even before, because as soon as the boarding started,
They were on the boat in character so the audience could talk to them, try and figure out what the characters knew. And
they had people grilling them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even before we left the dock, people were grilling them about things. So,
they were invested. And it was one of those things where I kind of was thinking, because it was this riverboat on the Mississippi and the weather was gorgeous, that we might have half of the people that were there actually want to come down and see what the solution was. We had basically 100% turnout every crew.
Yeah.
Where they came down to find out what the solution to the mystery was, which was great.
I wanted to know. Shit. Also, I got it wrong. I thought it was Angela.
Everybody thinks it's Angela, always.
To be fair, I almost thought it was the person that it turned out to be. And then, a scene happened and I went, nope, it's Angela. And then
I had Lauren pegged for most of the cruise, and then near the end, I don't remember what it was, but something made me go, nope.
I got to tell you, and this is spoilerish, but I don't know if we're ever going to do the show again, but there was a scene that was written that really actually gave away who the murderer was.
And I think I caught the last two sentences of that scene.
Honestly, one of my favorite scenes, one of the best scenes I feel I've ever written, which was a scene between two characters that was very emotionally deep.
Was it the brother-sister scene?
Yeah, it was the brother-sister scene. And the sister is going to the brother and saying, tell me that you didn't do it. And the thing is, if you watch the scene, the one thing you will notice is he never says that. He never tells her he didn't do it. Mm. And my son, my 13-year-old son, he gets to the end and he's like, I think he did it because I watched that scene and he never said he didn't do it. I'm like, yeah, kid.
Good
you got
job.
It.
Nice.
I was very proud that my 13-year-old son was able to figure out that he'd
read
that.
Between
I was
those
super
lines.
Sad because I only caught like the last two sentences of that scene. Yeah. I'm like, that was important, and I just missed it.
It was a great scene. It was between Dawn and Kelvin, who are two really, really exceptionally good actors, and they got all the emotional depth of that scene.
Oh, I believe
scene.
It.
Also, that it was brilliantly acted, and like we were saying, the writing was really nuanced, and to be able to put together a five stage interactive mystery that's also funny, like goddamn
yay Fearless.
I know, right?
Yay.
Any other Fearless things or otherwise that we
or
should
other.
Know about?
What else about you, Ken?
Sure, the Dregs, my band, we have a holiday shows coming up on the 22nd and 23rd of December.
What?
Our holiday shows are very silly. We do a little bit of traditional holiday music and a whole lot of really non-traditional holiday music.
With dick jokes.
There's a lot of dick jokes. Lots of dick jokes.
Oh, so many dick jokes.
And tickets for that are on our webpage, thedregs.net, or on Facebook.
What venue is it at?
It's going to be at the Black Forest.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, hey.
So the Black Forest Event Center,
fun.
Which isn't the greatest location, but it'll work. It's nice and intimate, and we like to be able to be
right.
up close with our audience.
Yeah.
So that'll be really nice. Then Fearless in February is doing a show called Fearless 5 Conspiracies.
Yay!
And so it's five original plays written by five newish playwrights. Mm-hmm. Some of them have never written a play before. Some of them have written one or two. On the subject of conspiracies, I am directing
whatever
one of
that
those.
Means to them.
I am producing the show and directing one of those plays.
Okay,
and that's coming up in February for Fearless, and then we have Die Laughing coming up, and then right after Die Laughing, I am very excited about this Fearless. We just decided we're going to do this, so we're going to be
hot scoops
co-producing a show with Sharon Steitler.
Oh my God! Yes,
called Pounded by Chuck Tingle. It's an adaptation of the works of Chuck Tingle, if you're not aware of who this is. It is going to be filthy.
Oh my God, that pleases me.
It's going to be filthy.
I'm so happy.
And it's an adaptation of some of his works, including Pounded in the Butt by a Billionaire T-Rex and Pounded in the Butt by My Own Butt. So
yes.
It's
oh my God, yes.
As Sharon likes to say, his books are about love, specifically gay
anthropomorphic
dinosaur love.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And dinosaur human love. It's it's interspecies love.
Oh,
so
God.
It's that's kind of what we've got going on. I'm also going to be part of the Not So Silent Planet Play Festival, which is going to be in February, early March. And I'm going to be the featured speaker at Not So Silent Planet in December.
Ooh.
I'm just doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
I've got the shows that are at the Can-Can Wonderland, the Retro Game Nights, every other, the first and third Fridays, first, third, and if there is one, fifth Fridays of the month. Mm-hmm. So,
do you have an encyclopedia show coming up at all, Tim?
I'm not in any encyclopedia shows coming up, although I will be fact-checking the encyclopedia show immediately that is opening PowerPoint Karaoke on the 17th, at which point I will be leaving to go over and run Retro Game Night at Can-Can Wonderland.
By the way, I was not joking when I said that he was a fucking performance hooker.
I'm a freelancer.
He's a whore.
He does a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's a performance whore.
Even more than Matt did.
Well, yeah, because Tim's actually good at it.
Well, yeah, that. Also, Matt, Tim is still doing his podcast.
Well, the problem with Matt, and he doesn't listen to this, so it doesn't matter. The problem with Matt is he is, without question, one of the most talented people I know. But he is also, without question, one of the least motivated people I know.
Aww.
I mean, there's that.
He's got moments of motivation, though, that are just impressive as fuck.
Yeah, every now and again, when something gets super exciting to him, he'll make it happen. But the rest of the time, he's like, meh.
Mm-hmm. Meh.
And that's really actually good for the rest of us.
Right. The rest of us have a chance.
Yeah.
Because if he found motivation, we'd be fucked.
No, if he did, we would all be screwed.
Yeah, that's...
He'd be taking all the work from everybody.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Bless you, Matt, Alex. Cheers.
May you rest in peace. Mm. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about the usual nonsense.
Yeah, all right.
Nonsense.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back.
Yes!
I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Tim.
And,
yay!
Hey, you guys seem really, really chipper.
I'm not right James.
Now. You're not James.
I mean, thank God.
Well, that's what makes me chipper.
There's so many fewer puns on this podcast
now. It has been.
It's been punless.
So nice.
I know.
It's been. Don't do it.
Good.
That's okay.
Good.
That is okay.
Good.
Peter's James, I need to point out.
Yes.
Well, this is going nowhere. God. So how about we just say James. You should drink True Stone coffee.
You should drink True Stone. Salsa, I'm going to have to grab more coffee from you, by the way.
That's okay.
I opened up my cabinet and I was out this morning. And I had to go to backup coffee.
It's Halloween.
You
didn't have any coffee.
It is.
That's pretty scary.
It was really scary.
That was a Halloween scary noise.
Was
good
it? Because that sounded more like the more you know sound.
A little bit like that.
Kind of.
Do, do, do.
But it was more Halloween-y sounding. Woo-wee, woo.
So anyway,
okay,
no.
You had a little theremin in there. It's good. We'll go with it.
I opened up my cupboard and I did not have any True Stone in my cupboard this morning. It was awful.
That sounds horrible.
I was like, what the shit? I had to go with subpar beans. And it was not the same.
In the arms
normally, of the angels. Normally what I do is I start my day, I grind a fresh grind of beans of True Stone coffee. And I mix that with a little bit of milk, just because I like a little bit of milk to go in with it, pretend it's healthy or something. And today I didn't have my True Stone beans, you guys, so I had to go with some bullshit peace coffee or something. And I ground those beans, and I put in the milk, and then I put in my vanilla flavoring and my raspberry flavoring and my hazelnut flavoring. I've got a whole Tarani set. And because I needed to mask the fact that it was over roasted, it was not good. So yeah. True Stone, I can have just with milk. Peace coffee, I can have with massive amounts of sugar added to it.
Ladies and gentlemen. This is Sarah McLachlan. Prove me wrong, bitch.
No. Pretty sure she
Across
has the same
country,
shitty beard.
Every day, people wake up and do not have True Stone.
Well, that's because they're not from Minnesota. Isn't it a local company? Locally brewed?
But they send it directly to your door.
Oh,
you
they can,
too.
They can ship anywhere in the country?
For a low, low price, you can have coffee shipped directly to your door, freshly roasted, with a roasted date on the bag.
Can they ship to Canada where your fans are?
I don't know. However, you can get a discount even. Just use the promo code...
Apropos.
and you can get 10% off of your order, which means even if you're poor and starving, you don't have to suffer through a morning without coffee.
You can actually eat coffee beans.
Also, yeah.
So, there's that.
And then you get the shits.
But at least you won't be starving.
Also that.
You'll have dysentery, but that's different.
And then you can get some cool swag, like a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Keep your torso warm. Hiya, guys. How about a fast five?
Fast five!
That was,
That was,
wow.
That was weird.
A little surreal.
The answer is yes. Yes, that was. Yes.
I haven't been on the podcast since you,
since we added the Sarah McLachlan soundtrack.
The Sarah McLachlan soundtrack, and you started... You started mainlining True Stone.
I know, right?
I am not a coffee drinker, but what I can say about True Stone coffee is it sure does smell good.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah, what you can
so if you
say
like the
is
smell it, of coffee.
True Stone fuels die laughing.
Oh my God, it really does.
It does.
Literally does.
It does.
So
literally yeah, in
really
the most
the,
literal
the coffee
sense.
That yeah. they provide for die laughing.
Yeah. So, Fast Five, for those of you who do not know how this works, what we do is we have two emails sent to us from you, the listener. That's right, you, or maybe not you, maybe the one sitting next to you. But either way, somebody out there who is not us sends us two emails. The first one has five, count them, five A or B choices. And we don't know what those mean. All we know is the choices. And we have to decide anyway which one we like. And then once we have decided that, we open the second email and find out what the intent actually was. This week... Our Fast Five comes to us from Edward Monkeybutt.
Edward Monkeybutt.
Yay, Mr. Monkeybutt.
Yay, Edward Monkeybutt.
Is he Canadian?
No, actually.
Hmm. What?
Local.
That's weird.
Nice.
Get some True Stone coffee, Edward Monkeybutt.
I know. Well, when I get to the signature, you will understand.
Okay.
Question number one. Beavers or otters?
Otters. I mean,
ooh.
Otters.
I mean, otters like do that cute little like hand holding bullshit.
They're adorable.
But
I
don't know, man. Beavers seem more industrious to me.
And beavers have that tail. Which
yeah, they
is
do.
Otters
cool.
have a tail.
They have a tail, but
it's
they
a,
don't have
the otters
the
have a sweet tail.
Yeah, no, but the otters have a tail.
Fine, you can take beavers if you want to.
Beavers.
Otters
I didn't say I was taking beavers.
I'll
I'm
take
just,
otters. All to
beavers
myself.
Look,
have that
gentlemen,
unique tail.
Gentlemen, what? I'll take a beaver. Yeah, this, had a this, date like that, that once.
Yeah. I'm gonna go beaver.
I'm going beaver, but
otter.
Okay.
All right. Question number two. Bear or moose?
Oh, but there's
moose
no squirrel.
Moose or squirrel, this would
right.
be better.
I know, right? But it's not. So there.
I'm going to go bear. I'm going bear, you guys.
Well, that goes along with the beaver. Oh!
Yeah, okay.
No, that's terrible.
Bear beaver?
Bear beaver.
Bear beaver.
Bear beaver.
I got it. You know, I'm bear.
No.
I'm going with moose.
You're
Tim.
Just being contrarian now.
But bear, bear, bear.
Bear, 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 bear.
Bear, bear, bear,
bear, bear, bear, bear, bear, bear. Fringe Festival, nobody
Yay.
Understands.
I get it.
Okay.
There is one listener out there that's very excited at this
okay,
moment.
Okay, one listener.
Bear, bear, bear.
Bear, bear, bear.
Question number three. Raccoon or squirrel?
Oh, God.
They both suck.
I almost hit a raccoon earlier today. Or yesterday, actually, as I was driving Jessa home from school.
Story's
so,
breaking apart already.
It is. So I'm going to go Trash Panda.
Trash Panda.
Which is, of course, a raccoon. It was super adorable, you guys. It was kind of like limping along, and I'm like, come on, buddy. Like, I almost did it, and then I stopped for it, and then
I'm
I
gonna
wish
go
kind of that I hadn't.
I'm going to go which is more obnoxious, and I'm going raccoon.
Because I wish the moose and squirrel had been together, so I'm going squirrel.
Oh, no, that's fair.
Question number four. Fox or coyote?
Which has the worst DeviantArt fan base, and I'm going to go fox. Have you seen, like...
I have not, but I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
Because, wait, what's DeviantArt? That's
like the artists that do... And some of them are really good, but some of them are just like...
Porn?
Kind of pornish, yeah.
So it's furry porn.
No, it's all sorts of different types of fan-based art.
My answer is easy, and it goes like this. Wile E. Coyote, Sue super genius.
Super genius.
I grew up on a farm, and coyotes are way, way much worse of nuisance.
Super genius.
Fox. What does the fox say, you guys?
Ding, 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 ding.
The look on Salsa's face was worth it.
Did you pick the fox or the coyote?
We are officially not replacing James with Tim.
Cool.
Question number five.
I'm good with that. I'm too busy.
Question number five. Wolverine or Badger?
Snicked Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning Wolverine just because.
Because snicked.
Going Wolverine on this one, I think.
I think I kind of gotta.
Those motherfuckers are nasty. Well, it doesn't say honey badger, it just says badger. So.
Yeah. Honey badger don't care, though.
Yep.
Honey badger don't give a shit. Mmm, high five.
So that's five, and this is signed Mrs. Mudd.
Yay, Mrs. Mudd!
Yep.
I like her.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
I don't know who that is, but thanks,
Mrs. Mudd. Mrs. Mudd is married to Mr. Mudd. Mudd Stuffin.
Duh.
I know who Mudd Stuffin is.
So yeah. There we go. So Mrs. Mudd.
Hi, Mrs. Mudd.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from you.
She makes incredible rainbow ribbon things.
Yeah, she does. I have a very nice one on my mug at festival.
Oh, no.
I have one on my drum.
Give me a sec. She did not include the questions in her answer.
She's got pregnancy brain.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're never going to know.
Okay, question number one. Beavers or otters?
Yeah.
Which would you be more excited to see in the wild?
Otters.
I'd be excited to see either in the wild.
I haven't had a good answer as to why.
I have already seen beavers in the wild, and they are a nuisance.
I believe I've seen both.
I think I would go with otters.
I've seen beavers in the wild, and they're easier to find because if you see a beaver dam or a beaver lodge, it's pretty easy to spot the beavers. The otters are much harder to find in the wild, so I'd be way more excited about otters.
But just aside from that, I think because they are a little bit more playful and you know, less industrious, you see them in the wild, you go, oh, hey, look, that's a thing, as opposed to, oh, look, he's doing
cutting down a tree.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is cool. No joke.
I honestly would be excited to see either. I don't know that my answer necessarily changes, but I don't know that it doesn't either. So animals are neat to me.
I'm good with my answer.
Fair enough. All right. Cool. Question number two, bear or moose. Which would be scarier to hit with your car?
A moose. Because of the horns.
No. A bear.
Yeah?
Because you hit a moose with your car, you break its leg. The impact is going to do a lot of damage.
Heard stories about people hitting moose with trucks, and the moose didn't move. Seriously, man.
No. Absolutely. I'm the impact. But the thing is after the impact, I feel like that bear is going to get up and be a bitch. Whereas the moose is yes, moose are big. Don't get me wrong. They're scary as shit. But if you're still in the car, I feel like the moose is going to bang against the car, but you're still okay. Whereas the bear is,
You are actually mistaken on this one.
Fair enough.
About the viciousness of moose.
No, yeah. I understand. But again, I'm hoping I break its leg upon first impact.
Because here's what would happen if you hit a bear. And this is, I believe this to be true.
Okay.
If you hit a bear, what would happen? Because bears are kind of big and roly-poly.
Mm-hmm.
They would hit a bear, and here's what's happening, all right? The bear is walking across the road slowly. You know why? Because it's a fucking bear.
Right.
And it doesn't give a shit about you or your fucking car. You hit the bear rolls away from your car about 50 yards, lands on its feet, and continues walking across the road like nothing happened.
Right.
That's why they're not scary, because they don't give a fuck about you.
I see. Whereas a moose is going to say, I'm angry now.
Yeah.
Now you have fucked with my territory,
you know what?
Bitch. You're going down.
You have swayed me. I'm switching to moose.
I want to put the nail in the coffin on this
one.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Once, way, way, way back in the day, I was hiking with a youth group in the Glacier Park area. Mm-hmm. And there was one group that was hiking very fast and one group that was hiking very slow. And I was
and one
originally...
group that was hiking just
No, there was not. There was not a just right. So I was hiking with a slow group and decided I was going to create a just right group of me. Don't hike alone, kids.
No, don't.
Because
you're going to get stabbed by a serial killer.
No. What's going to happen is you're going to be hiking along the trail and you're going to see some movement off to your right-hand side. And you're going to turn to look, and that's going to be probably a junior black bear. Seriously, like 15 feet away from me, and I was like, what the shit? And it just seemed curious, which good. So I just slowly started continuing along the trail, and it just kind of came over to the trail, and it kept the exact same distance and kind of started following me a little bit.
Whoa.
And the trail went like uphill a little bit, which I think is my saving grace. I think that's why I'm still alive to this day.
Too much work.
Basically, yeah. Like, I was at the top of this little, like, 20-foot incline, and the bear was at the bottom of it, and it was kind of like, fuck you, and then just wandered off. And I'm like,
meanwhile, the slow group is going to show up 5 minutes later.
Right.
So I was in Yosemite National Park.
Yeah.
And we had been watching, looking at Bridal Veil Falls, and we were walking back to the parking lot. And as we were walking back to the parking lot,
yeah,
my sister-in-law spotted a bear.
Okay.
And this is literally what happened. Her hand shot out in front of her, and she said, bear. And in between the spot where she was pointing and her shoulder was my face. So she pointed to the bear, and as she was pointing to the bear and telling everybody to look at the bear that was walking across the path, she punched me in the face. And I didn't see the bear.
Oh, son of a bitch! Oh.
That wasn't relevant to the argument at all, but it was still a good story.
No.
I'm still happy with it.
Mine was bears get lazy
I'm
and
just
don't
saying,
fucking
oh, yeah,
care.
No.
My sister-in-law's fist is a bigger threat to me than a bear.
That is relevant
okay,
now.
Fair
well
enough.
Done.
Question. Question number three, raccoon
or... God, that was only number two.
Well, you know, if you stop...
Not all of them are this long.
Okay.
Raccoon or squirrel, which would you rather have as a pet?
I know Mr. Pachyditis. He's a local fellow, fantastic individual. I've known him since I was like 10 or 12, actually. We met through Mensa boards. But he takes care of squirrels and he kind of helps rescue squirrels and things like that. And squirrels seem like very interesting, fascinating pets to me. I'm not sure what I would do with a trash panda.
I know what I would do.
You would cuddle with it.
I would feed it trash. I'm going to go for a raccoon. I'm changing the
answer. Oh.
Because it's like a garbage compactor with legs.
You're going to do the Fred Flintstone garbage compactor. Okay.
Yeah. I just remembered a story.
Okay, make it quick.
I will. Tim, you might know the Tatchies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used to have a flying squirrel.
What?
They did. It was Amber's pet. And it was named Rocky.
Of course it was.
Because fuck yeah, it was named Rocky. Exactly. Anyway, one day the flying squirrel died.
Aww.
Because somebody left the toilet lit up.
Aww.
Right.
Aww.
But it was a fantastic pet. I will say that. So I'm going to switch to squirrel and stick with squirrel based on flying squirrel.
Okay.
Fair.
Question number four. Yeah. Fox or coyote?
Yeah.
Which would you rather encounter while hiking?
Oh, a fox.
A bear?
Fox.
A black bear?
Fox.
That's really curious.
Super adorable.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really hard to see.
Yeah.
They're really
fast.
Hard to spot.
Oh, my God, they're fast.
Yeah. I'm definitely sticking with fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fluffier and cuddly.
A coyote is just a really badly groomed dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number five, wolverine or badger, which animal would scare you more if you saw it in your yard?
Wolverine, they're way more dangerous than badgers. I'm not saying badgers aren't dangerous.
They will both fuck you up,
They'll both fuck you up.
Yeah, but a wolverine will fuck you up automatically. A badger will be like, I don't care. I'm just going to move on.
Badger don't give a shit.
A wolverine will be like, look, there's something living. I must harm it.
Yeah.
Not kill it. That's the thing. A Wolverine doesn't even want to kill you. It mm-hmm. just wants to damage you severely.
Right.
That's what makes it worse.
I don't know enough about either of them, but I feel like Tim's assessment is correct, and it's all about feelings, so I'm going to go with it.
Also, a badger does not have an adamantium skeleton.
Fuck.
This is way back in junior high, if not elementary school. My brother and I were in baseball together.
Okay.
And we were, the baseball diamonds were next to the school, and the school was across a field from town, basically. And so after baseball one day, we were going to walk to my grandma's house. And so we were walking across this just small 40-acre alfalfa field. And we're walking along, talking, you know, not really paying attention.
Right.
And I suddenly go, fuck! And my brother keeps walking, turns his head and goes, what? And as he's still walking forward, and he finally looks down, and his foot is above a badger. If he had not seen it,
just God.
5 milliseconds later, that would have been a problem. But he levitated, and we ran further and faster than I have ever in my life. And so I got to go badger on this one because that happened.
The reason you're alive is because it wasn't a Wolverine.
I don't care.
Right.
I now have that Pavlovian response.
No, that's fair and understandable.
Probably more than me.
Well, God, yeah.
But that happened.
Get it.
So anyway.
And it is all about the gut and not necessarily the logic here. So,
all right. So thank you so very, very, very much to Edward Monkey Butt, Mrs. Mudd. these were fun.
I loved it.
If you would like to submit a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one containing your A or B choices. The second one containing the A or B choices and what they mean. Please label the emails accordingly so I can find them, et cetera. Yeah, it's true. We should get out of here. You should drink True Stone Coffee, and then you should give money to Team Casimir.
Team Sexy.
Team Mystery.
Look, you give to Team Casimir first, and then if you've got any left over, go ahead and give
it. By any left over, he means like you give your first five to Casimir, and then you give the rest to Team Sexy.
Or your first five to Casimir, and then maybe your next five to Team Sexy,
I'm not telling
it's
you.
Only $3.
I'm not telling you how to math your money. The important thing is you should give as much as you can. And I'm not saying you have to give if you can't. Going back to the rules, if you're a college student, you know,
and encourage.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you can't give money, tell other people.
Yep.
Tell other people. If you're able to give, remember this is tax deductible. So even if you do, for some reason, give to Team Mystery or Team Sexy instead of Team Casimir,
because we're better.
That is
High five.
That is all a tax write-off and
tax deductible, bitches.
I know, right?
Things to plug.
All of those things that Tim mentioned.
Plugged all the shit already.
I know, right?
You've plugged all of your things.
Also, Geeks Without God.
That's a podcast that you should listen to if you like things.
All right. November 9th, this Thursday at 7:30 p.m., you can go to Honey and see Double Blind Improv. I will be there working the box office. So, you know, come say hi.
You can also go to Strike Theater, where I will be presenting a story as part of their Story NATO show.
Ooh.
Also, Tim does fucking
story
everything.
Story NATO. All right. This Saturday at 4:30 at Strike Theater. Strike Theater is becoming the place to be.
Coming full circle.
I will not be performing.
But
my daughter will be.
Yeah.
The official Ostrich Committee is hanging out over at Strike Theater this weekend.
Awesome.
So, 4:30 Strike Theater. Official Ostrich Committee, team run group. Really good, you guys. Like, they are really good. And they've done Die Laughing for several years. So, yep. Different teenagers because teenagers get old.
Because teenagers
grow up and they get old. Kicked out. But my daughter's a part of them.
No matter
so,
how
yeah.
much you try to coffee them up and stunt their growth.
Oh, right. I keep trying. And then we do have Give to the Max starting on the 16th.
7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Fearless Marvels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you definitely want to come out and see that.
To the historic Mounds Theater.
Right.
In St. Paul, not
in
Mounds.
In St. Paul, not Mounds, which is weird, but
it's confusing.
Cool. The other thing that is starting on the 16th, so you're going to want to see it the 17th and or the 18th. Or the 19th. Romeo and Juliet at Southwest High School. My daughter is a part of this. And yes, look, it's Romeo and Juliet. However, they're doing it steampunk style.
I know, right?
And this is going to be amazing.
Is there a TARDIS? I hope there's a TARDIS.
I don't think there's a TARDIS. Revisit this romantic tragedy between the feuding Capulets and the Montagues in steampunk style. Retro-futuristic technologies and familial tensions tear at the heart of Romeo and Juliet's forbidden love. And they're, honestly, their costuming is going to be amazing. They've, cool. they've borrowed a few pieces from me, actually, so.
Spoiler,
I know at least
die.
That much is going to be, but yeah, go see that, because I've talked about this before, but Southwest High School Theater is at least black box level, if not better. Like, they are really good at what mm-hmm. they do. They've got all of those South Minneapolis people that wish they were from Edina, so they keep throwing money at their theater department. So yeah, go see it, because it's pretty incredible stuff for public school.
Because it's not Edina.
Right. Also, fuck Edina. Not all of them, just a few of them.
Just the douches.
Right, that. Anyway, so that's pretty much what I've got on my docket. Like,
I'm doing pretty good, other than rehearsals for Mystery yeah. Lodge coming up. I'm doing Give to the Max. And then I've kind of got an open schedule. I'll
talk next week about what I'm doing for Give to the Max.
That's fair.
I think.
That's fair.
It's going to be a cool thing, though. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be so dumb yeah. and hopefully wonderful as well.
It should be dumb. That's the whole point.
No, right, exactly.
I honestly, I have been running ragged all summer, doing various festivals and stuff with Casimir. And the fact that I am basically looking after December 1st, like the entire month of December, as far as I know so far, which that can always change in a minute because goddammit, not having any shows is really kind of, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like,
yeah,
every weekend seeing my kids. What?
That's weird.
I know.
Justin and I just kind of see each other in passing on our ways to different rehearsals. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like, I didn't even see her after school today because she didn't get out of tech until 7. And
did I mention that my kid's old enough to vote?
Is your kid a senior or
yep.
graduated?
Senior.
Okay. My kid's a senior, too.
Yeah. He's got a September birthday, so he started
yeah,
about
she's
as
got
late.
A July. Yeah.
As late so. As he can.
Oh, hey, we got a new kitty.
Oh, my
yeah,
God. And
I
your kitty
it.
Is
it's
adorable.
It's
that's a thing that happened.
Your kitty, yeah. cuddled and purred with me for like 15 minutes and then climbed onto my shoulder and started licking my hair. It was adorable.
Cool.
And then crawled back down and cuddled with me some more.
Anyway, is that it's everything
so
we have to plug? I think that's all.
I've plugged so many things.
Right?
Yeah, I will try to remember to it all to get it into the show
you
notes.
You may actually need to listen
I may,
to it
yeah.
to grab everything.
About God and a real education.
No, I'm not
Tim,
plugging
if
that
you
shit.
Could send a list and just email
I don't
that
even,
to
I don't have time to write a list that long.
Yeah, no. By the time he's gotten done writing
I'm
the
done,
list,
I,
we've already
he's
missed
already
two
auditioned
shows.
For two more shows.
Yeah.
All right. I will see what I can do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Do 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 take it away, Sosa.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.